Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's sermon is titled Start Spreading the News. And if you're a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you would know that it posits multiple universes. And in another universe, I am singing Frank Sinatra's song, Start Spreading the News, New York, New York, and I sound great. You'll have to take my word for it, though, because I'm not going to sing to you. I'm not going to sing at you. But I am going to try to start spreading the news. Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Good. Ring the bell. So let's look at this passage from Mark. So there's some things here that are worthy of our observations and comments. The first is that the resurrection of Jesus was announced to a bunch of women. Now, today we say, so what? But back in the ancient world, women didn't have any kind of standing in society. They didn't. There's no legal standing. There was no social standing. Women were seen as being outsiders, people who didn't count. And yes, I can say that as a 21st century person, it makes no sense. But that's the way people thought back then. And yet, the resurrection was announced to some women. There's also the fact that there's this guy hanging out in the tomb, the young man in the white robe, and he tells the women that he knows what they're there for. He knows that they are there looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And they should not be afraid. Or as the text says, do not be amazed. Really? So I posed this question earlier today. I'm going to pose it again. If you were present at the site of a resurrection, what would your reaction be? Would you be amazed? Thank you. Someone's nodding her head. If this celestial being showed up and said, do not be afraid, what would your response be? I don't know about you, but I would be scared. This is really big news. And yes, I'm saying this as a preacher. This is the biggest news in all of human history. This is it. God came back from the dead. God loved us so much that he conquered death, conquered sin, and did that so all of us could benefit. So think about that. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. God loves you, each and every one of you. Now, I hope that makes you feel good. The most powerful being in the universe cares about us that much. I think that's pretty big news that we should be willing to spare. And so, yes, I'm going to do something that my preaching professor in divinity school said that all Protestant ministers like to do, which is end a sermon with an assignment. And I'm going to give you an assignment. Share this news. Now, you might be saying, oh, wait a minute, I don't like to do that. I don't want to talk to my friends about it. I like to keep my faith private. Do you tell your friends about the new toothpaste you got? Do you tell your friends about the new movie you saw or the video game you like to play or the game you went to? I'm sure there's all sorts of stuff you would tell your friends and family about. But why not this? Why not tell your friends and family that God loves them? Now, in today's world, that is a message that is sorely needed. And if you disagree with me, you can waste some time watching cable TV news. not a good investment of your time, but that's a good place to see just how poorly humans can treat one another. So yes, we like to talk about how people are killing one another and how people are harming one another. And then we think, we're not those people. But here, who here has an email account? Who here has a social media account? Who here has seen the vituperation that is spread on Facebook or whatever today's current platform of choice is? It's so easy to slag off someone when you don't see them. Just post it. And then you go back to doing whatever it is you like to do. That is not what we're called to do. We are called to follow the way of Jesus. And yes, that is good news, because Jesus lived a life of service and care and affection. But I'm going to give you the warning here. You can also be crucified. Jesus came to a sorry end at the hands of the state and the religious establishment. They found what Jesus said to be threatening. Jesus threatened people, not by saying he was going to hurt them, but by showing there was a different way. And so there may be people out there I don't like. And I will admit that there are people out there that I don't like. But I am not going to go online and call them names. I am not going to go out and attack people. Now, maybe you think that's the right way to do things, and we need to have a chat. Each and every one of us is one of God's children. Each of us. Every one of us. Now, I'm not saying that I won't have a heated conversation with people. We need to stand up for what is right and for what is true. And I am not going to argue that people have their own truths. The truth is, with a capital T, that God loves us. Think about that. And yes, I say that over and over again. But if you look at the world the way it is today, that is a message that bears repeating. God loves us. And for whatever reason, God saw fit to care for us. Now, human beings are a pretty remarkable lot. We've done some interesting things. And I can talk about technology that we've developed. I can talk about some of the beautiful art that we have executed. I can talk about the joy of music. But what makes us special? Why, out of all the creatures in the universe, did God choose to care about us? God didn't have to. I truly think that God is self-sufficient enough that God could have existed without us. God's not like the deities of ancient Greek mythology who required sacrifices from humans for their sustenance. God's got the heavenly host out there. There are angels and seraphim and cherubim, all of whom can say great things about God. But we are expected to offer our praise to God. Now, I hope you get something out of hearing other voices singing. I hope you get something out of being in a place with other people sharing prayers and sharing your concerns and sharing your joys. And the church is a place where everyone is welcome. Yes, there are churches out there that will say, everyone is welcome except for you and you and you and you. But that's not the way we do business here. Our church preaches the gospel. which was for everyone. So you got your assignment. I'm not letting you off the hook. And I'm not going to be grading you. But I'd like to tell you about a former member of this congregation. She was a nice woman. Wasn't overly in your face friendly. But she wrote checks that had her name and address and telephone number. And the illustration she had on her checks was a fish. Have you ever seen that symbol of the fish, which is used for Jesus? That was on every one of her checks. She gave us those checks. She used them at the co-op. She gave them to utility companies. Whoever got a check from her got this message. That was sharing the good news. So telling people that God loves them and that they're wanted in church is a good thing to do. And yet, you might tick off someone for doing that. But that's their problem, not yours. If you're trying to offer an open hand of friendship, and someone chooses to be offended by that, I don't know that I have anything to tell you. Other than it's their problem. You have been blessed. Each and every one of you has a gift. Now, some of you, I can say what your gifts are very easily. I know some of you are doctors, some of you are vocalists, some of you are organizers and volunteers. Some of you work with young people. The list goes on. I didn't plan to say this, but I'm going to do it now, and I'm going to do it at Amy's expense.
Go for it.
So Amy works for the King Arthur Company, and she travels around the country, and she helps kids learn how to bake. Now, hopefully, this isn't news to anybody in this room, but donuts don't come fully formed in circles and then packed in a box with cellophane so you can see them. They don't grow at Dunkin' Donuts. Somebody has to make them. And not all donuts are made in a factory. So locals here in town will know that Muriel's Donuts are a beloved local treat. Amy is teaching young people how to make donuts and bread. Thank you, Amy. But think about the gifts you may have. And maybe it's drawing. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's working out in the yard. Maybe it's helping an old person cross the street. If you've watched cars drive around Colburn Park, you know that that kind of assistance is sorely needed. Don't drive like a lunatic. That is a good way to show you've been paying attention to Jesus, who doesn't want you to run down your neighbor. So this is Easter morning, big day for the church. In fact, it is the biggest day for the church. Easter is bigger than Christmas. Christmas only matters because Jesus was born and then led his life and then went to the cross. Now the good news here is that the marketers haven't gotten their hands on Easter yet. Oh yeah, they'll sell you bunny rabbits and little chocolate eggs. But Easter hasn't been done to death the way Christmas has. And that is okay. But we shouldn't keep Easter to ourselves. My hope, my prayer, is that everyone will get the message about God's love and what God did for us on Easter Day. So yes, we say that Christ is risen. Alleluia. But that's old news. It happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus was not raised this morning. There's nothing of this going on in the Holy Land. But hopefully, the stories of God, the promises of God's love, are made real to you when you come to church, when you read scripture, when you meet the faithful, and you will feel that Christ is alive. So please, start spreading the news. Otherwise, I may come sing at you. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the gospel, and we thank you for all the faithful throughout the years who have shared the story of Jesus' love. Please be with us as we seek to follow Jesus' way. In his name we pray, amen.